Isn't it lovely to celebrate with Sandra and Nigel? It really is. And listen, some of us have not had the opportunity to go as long as we would like. We had our 40th recently, and I thank God for that. I hope we go further. But you know what's so important is our relationship with God. Now, there's a word up there, adopted. Recently, as a church, we've been looking at the letters of John, and I want to just focus on one short verse that is in 1 John chapter 3 today. But also on one that was in Romans that we had read to us. So, adopted. Can you see the resemblance? That was me in 1967. You can't see it, but I'm sat on my bike in West Park in Goole, and my brother, who was 17 years older than me, is trying out his new camera. And that's the only picture I have of myself as a little kid. But other than the sticky out ears, it's all right, isn't it? But what you are seeing there is a little boy who has just lost his dad. It was Christmas 1966 that my father died. And it was a big disturbance in the middle of the night that the ambulance came and took him away, and he died in hospital later on. Had a heart attack, and 5.5 years ago, coming up 6 years ago nearly now, I had a heart attack, and my consultant said to me, you know, we got it for you. If your father was still alive these days, we would have stopped it for him as well, because treatment has come on a long way. But in 1967, I had to go back to school in January with everybody looking at me. I am the child whose dad has just died. Very awkward, very difficult. I had a 2-mile walk to school, and when you're just seven, it seems like forever to go that distance, but it was what it was. But when my father died, I can tell you what went through my mind. What went through my mind was, how could you die and leave me with this mad woman? Because my mother had been mentally ill for some time. In fact, she always told me it was giving birth to me that started it. And having such a big head, it's possible. But thank you, Jude. I really appreciate that. That's very kind. But you know, I was terrified of her, because you couldn't predict her behaviour. You didn't know. I remember one day, this was before my dad had died, I discovered that if I ran upstairs with my teddy bear and dropped it from the top of the stairs, it was fun to see it bounce on the floor beneath. And then I would run down the stairs, pick it up and do it again. And I carried on doing that. You know what kids are like. Yeah. And that day, at that particular time, my mother walked underneath me as I was dropping the teddy, and it hit her on the head. And I thought she was going to kill me. And I was 4 years old, 4.5 years old. And somehow I dragged a chest of drawers in front of my bedroom door to keep her out. and I stayed in my bedroom until my father came home, who managed to push the chest of drawers away, and he came in and he hugged me and he says, "What's up, son?" But then, by the time I was seven, he died and left me alone with her. I lived for my father coming home from work. Do you understand that? I lived for him coming home because I never knew what would happen to me whilst he was at work. And please believe me, we have moved on a long way, but today I would have been taken into care and I would never have gone back. But then it was different. And people used to pat me on the head. Or they would say, "Oh, poor Stephen." And I knew what they meant. But no one would ever do anything about it. I just had to live with her. So, a lot happened to me, lost without my dad. But the thing that changed my life was, as an 8-year-old, I walked into a little church. It was in the middle of Clifton Gardens in Goole. It's now a scout hut. But it was a church. They moved to bigger premises, but it was a church. And there I heard lots of things. For a start, I heard people singing about a God and a Jesus, a God who was their father. And it was an amazing thing to me as an 8-year-old to realise that there was somebody else who wanted to be my father. I couldn't blame my dad for dying. I just sometimes wanted to. But a heavenly father never dies. And what we had read to us today says this: "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." What this means is this: Abba is the Aramaic word for daddy. It simply means we can call God dad. And I had this explained to me when I was 8 years old. And what this says is that we have received God's spirit when he adopts us. And you know what? It had been my ambition since my father died to be adopted. I desperately wanted somebody to come and knock at the door and say, "Mrs. Redman, we want to adopt your child." And you know what? It was something I used to dream about. I really, really wanted that. But it never happened. And then I walked into this church and they told me that God the Father wanted to adopt me as his son. And I thought, this is what I've been wanting. And you know, that day I listened to that. And I listen to this verse that we've been reading last week in 1 John. "How very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are." And the preacher said, if you want to be one of God's children, I want you to come and join me at the back. And he took me into, I was out like a shot, I mean that. It's very embarrassing. You know, some of the ways sometimes we put people through it to help them get a relationship with Jesus, I think we can sometimes embarrass the life out of them. But I went in there as we were singing a hymn. And the hymn was, now I've actually photographed this on my phone from my old copy of the Redemption hymnal. I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord and I took him at his word, then at once all my burdens rolled away. And there's this, rolled away, I remember when my burdens rolled away. And they were singing that as I walked out. And that man prayed with me and he said, Stephen, Jesus, God the Father, they want to adopt you as their own. And that day, I felt something fall off me. I felt a weight that I'd been carrying, a weight of grief, a weight of not having anybody in my life. It went. And you know what? It's never come back. I want to just tell you what it means to be adopted. It means you believe God's promise and you engage with him like he's your dad. Some people say to me, I don't understand, Stephen, how you can talk about God like that. Well, would you understand it if I was talking about my dad like that? Yes, you would. Well, that's how I'm talking about God, because God is my dad. And I'm not anything special, believe me. I mean, that hymn says, I remember when my burdens rolled away, I'd carried them for years, night and day. I was 8. How many burdens can you carry when you're 8? Let me tell you, I knew how many I'd been carrying when they fell off me. When I felt how much lighter I was, that's how you know. So, I became a Christian that day, and I want to just have a bit of a go at the title Christian. Because our trouble is, as a nation, we don't even really know what one is. We talk about it and we don't really quite get it. Does it mean we've got religion? Well, God help us. You know what? There's been a lot in the papers recently about there are not as many religious people as there were. Well, I dispute that. I mean, what I can tell you is church attendance has grown in the United Kingdom continually from the early 80s. From about 1985, we can track it in the UK. In the early 1980s, 2% of the population of the UK were committed churchgoers who, if you said to them, are you a follower of Jesus, they would say yes. 2%. Today, that is, depending which survey you read, it's either 10% or 6%. Now, I'm happy to go with the smaller figure, which means that church attendance, the number of Christians in the UK, has tripled since I was a kid. When I used to go out and talk to people on the streets about Jesus when I was in my late teens, people would spit at me. They don't do that anymore. And it's not just because they can't be bothered. People are much more open to hear what you have to say these days. They might ignore me, but they would never spit at me. What am I saying? What I'm saying is this. I don't think I'm a particularly religious person. You see, had they given that survey to me, and they might have done, they would say, if they said, do you consider yourself to be religious? I would always say no, because I don't think I am religious. You see, I think of religious as wearing a cassock and a backwards on collar and speaking like this. I am Stephen Redman and I am all of a sudden Anglican. No, you know, it's not, that isn't religion. Well, maybe that is, but I'm not religious when it comes to that. I've just got a dad. Do you understand the difference? It's about relationship. And I want you to know it's a relationship that we can all have. Some people say to me, well, are you one of them born again types? Well, Jesus said, you must be born again. So, yes, I am one of those born again types. But, you know, some people claim to be born again and you don't really know. The great, honourable, glorious man, Donald Trump, claims to be born again. I don't know if he is. If he is, he's not a very good testimony for the church. But, you know, you can claim anything. But I have a heavenly birth certificate, and it says I was born on the 21st of April 1968, which is the day that man took me into the vestry to pray with me. And that has made such a difference to me. That was a fly. It's made such a difference to me that I have stayed walking with Jesus all these years. Some people these days won't be called Christians. They want to be called red letter Christians. That's because in some Bibles, the words of Jesus are written in red. Everything else is black. And so they want to say, well, we're Christians in the Jesus sort of way. Well, fair enough, but there's a lot of important words in black in the Bible. So I don't call myself a red letter Christian. If you've collared me and said, how would you describe yourself, Stephen? I would just like to say I'm a follower of Jesus. I want to follow him. I really, really do. Jesus said to his first disciples, he said, follow me. And you know what? They got up, they left the fishing boats, they left their tax cubicles, they left all the places they worked, and they followed Jesus. And that was it. They walked away from their old lives. I think that's probably a good description. But on forms that need to be filled in for the government, I tick Christian. So, 1983. That is me. I had hair then. And that is the Blessed Pauline. And I met her in that same little church. And we were the best of friends, and one day we were trying to have a bit of a laugh with my boss, because my boss, he went to that church as well, and he thought he knew everything about me. You know, he wanted to think he was the world expert on Steve Redman. So me and Pauline, we cooked up this joke, right? She would come in to, we were putting on this exhibition, this hi-fi exhibition, at this hotel, and she would come in and say, oh, Stephen, I've had a word with the manager and they'll lend us enough. Now, you know what people, big ears, they say, what? They're getting a mortgage? They're getting married? How come I don't know? And he blew his lid. And we laughed our heads off, especially when we told him, we got you there, we got you there. And then I said to Paul, you know, I'll drop you off on my way home. And in the car, we both sort of blurted out, actually, that wouldn't be such a bad idea, would it? There you go. And that's our family. That's Libby, who's been on the keyboard. That's Melody, who's popping tomorrow. That's Ariel, who's taking out the kids. And that is Rocky. Rocky was our youngest, born in 1994, 8th of May, VE Day. And we were sat there in the delivery suite. We haven't picked a boy's name. He was going to be Evangeline Destiny Redman. Because we'd only had girls and we thought we were going to have another girl. And we just sat there and I started crying and I said to Pauline, we brought a boy into the world and we haven't even picked him a name. And we looked at each other and I said, what about Rocky? And she, you know, that was while I was holding him and I passed him back to her. And she said, well, you do look like a Rocky. And that was it. As a family, we grew together, had lots of fun. And then in 1998, at Christmas, just before Christmas, he was diagnosed with a stage 4 neuroblastoma, which is a particularly nasty childhood cancer. It normally manifests as a tumour on the adrenal gland, which is on the neck of the kidney. And I'm a bit of an expert on neuroblastoma because you become a bit of an expert. But there he is. He said to me, "Dad, take a picture of me with all my pipes in." And that is his Hickman line, which is called a dual Hickman line. And that allows you to put in a lot of blood quickly, or blood products, or chemotherapy. That line going across there, that's where he had his tumour removed, and it goes all the way around the other side. I forget how many hours he was in surgery, but it seemed like forever. And if you want to know the full story, there's my book on the back, Just Take One Away. Up there, you've got a Vascath, and that was for collecting stem cells, because he was going to have a stem cell replacement therapy the following day. And that is a nasogastric tube, which we fed him with every night, because if we didn't feed him with that, he would just have been dead for months, because he could barely eat anything. He's got no hair then, and actually, we realised what a beautiful head he'd got when his hair fell out. But even through cancer, Rocky was lots of fun. He had a lot of pain, but he didn't complain, and we came through it as a family. And on the 27th of June 2001, so in just over a month's time, we will be remembering his death. He called me. I was off work supporting Pauline. We looked after him ourselves at home, because he'd relapsed and there was no possibility of any additional treatment. Neuroblastoma is something they throw everything at it. And if it comes back, they've nothing else to throw at it. And my job was, I was the one who got up first thing and toileted him and looked after him. And Pauline did it all at the night time. And so we divided the jobs like that. But this particular morning, Pauline got up with me. And I went, looked after him, and I said to Pauline, "Shall we just sit with him for a minute?" And she sat on the sofa, I lifted him onto her, and I sat holding his hand. And in a matter of seconds, he'd gone. Now, I cried out, "God! My son, my only son." And I heard a voice in the room, controlled and calm, say these words back to me: "That's okay. I know that feeling too." And you know what? That was all I needed to hear that day. I was as shocked and as upset as anybody would be. They'd given him 3 weeks to live when he relapsed, and he lived 5 months. And the GP had been to see him only the other day, and I didn't realise the GP came every week, because if you've seen a GP in the last week, you don't have to have an autopsy. Yeah. And the GP knew that, and that's why he came every week. Came every week for 5 months. And only that week he'd said to me, "Well, Stephen, I don't believe as you believe, but," he said, "I have to confess this. There's something you're doing right, because this boy should have been dead months ago." So our son died. We buried him. But that was as hard for us as it would be for you or for anybody else. But God never left us. And the difference when you've got somebody by your side, you can face anything. It makes all the difference in the world. And God is just waiting to be asked to be by your side, as well as me, as well as all of us. And I just want you to know this. It is okay. People have often said to me, well, Stephen, it's all right for you. And I would say, well, it would be all right for you. If you believed as I believed, it would be all right for you as well. And you know, really, it is all right for us as we allow God to get near to us. One thing I will promise you is this. God will never, ever force himself on you. You've got to ask him. And you say, well, couldn't he? Do you know what? God just isn't like that. God wants to be invited in. So, we're here, 2023. I don't know how long ago this is. This is a month ago, was it, or something? We stood at the back while someone took our photo in front of the cake, and we had cake for our Ruby anniversary. And I think silver is so exciting. This is not to say I've done it, gone further than you have, but it is to say this. God is still with us. That picture I showed of you when we're at the front of the church, just after we'd got married and they took a photo of us there with the pastor. The God who stood with us that day, in fact, the God that stood with me the day I first talked to him for myself, that God is still with us. And so, there's a phrase I use about ourselves, which is this. We're clothed and in our right mind. The Bible talks about a man who was crazy in his head. He called himself Legion. And they put iron chains on him and he would break them. And his body would be dripping where he'd been cut himself trying to escape and all of this. And no one could get near him. You know, if they put half a dozen men on him, he would throw them off. He was unbelievably strong. And one day Jesus comes along and he tells the spirits that's in him to go. And that man, for the first time in a long time, got dressed. And it says he was clothed and he was in his right mind. I lived with a mentally ill mother. I know what it's like. And I know that what we've been through, God has been especially kind to us. Would I love it if my son was back with me? Well, I would. I mean, he'd be 29 now. He was 7 when he died. You know, it's a lot of water's gone under the bridge. Would I love to have him back? Yes, I will. But you know what? I will be with him again. And that's enough for me now. What's enough for me is knowing that God says it's okay because he remembers his loss of his son too. And you say, oh yes, but you know, Jesus died for all our sin and all of that. Yes, he did. The difference between my son dying and God's son dying is that I would have done anything to stop my son dying. When God's son died, he died willingly. Even his father allowed it. That's astonishing that anybody would allow that to happen. Well, God did it and he did it for me so that I could be clothed and in my right mind. The last verse in the Gospel of Matthew says this. I am with you always till the end of the age. The Bible makes us this promise. And you know what? This is a really big promise. This is such a big promise. I thank God for this promise. This is a very powerful promise. It's something that Andre Crouch wrote a song about, and he called it the promise. And you know what? It is the promise. God is with us. If you ask him. Yeah? So, these are words by James Cleveland. I don't feel no ways tired. I've come too far from where I started from. I've come too far, people. No one is going to turn me back now. I've been following Jesus for years. And I want you to know, nobody told me that the road would be easy. And it isn't. It isn't. The road isn't easy. But I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. This is the power of this song. I'm going to pray in just a moment, but I just want to give you a little bit of advice. If you don't know my Jesus, he's worth a try. I don't see how it can possibly be a risk to you. But I know this. If you call on his name, he'll draw near to you. He'll be with you. And I don't know what it would have been like to have lost a child through cancer and not have Jesus. But I have him. I'm adopted. I'm part of the family of God. And you know what's special about being an adopted child? You see, tomorrow, Melody and Xander are going to have their first baby. They don't know whether it's a boy or a girl. There is only one. They're going to love it. I'm going to love it because it's going to be my grandbaby. Yes. But when you're adopted, you're chosen. They look you in the eye and they say, yeah, I'll have that one, please. And you know what? That's what God wants to do with you now. Would you just bow your head with me? I'm going to pray. And if you want to just say something in your heart quietly to God, then just do that as well as I pray. Father God, we want to be part of your family. I ask you, Lord, that you might draw close to each one here, to each one that's looking for you, reaching out to you. I just pray that today you might adopt them as you adopted me. I pray that you might draw near to them as you drew near to me. And I pray that you might walk with them for the rest of their lives into eternity as you are doing for me. Thank you, Father, that you are the God who answers prayer. We trust you. And we say, do it again, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.